This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damastis.
Unwavering customer service, dedicated commitment to excellence, and one of the most professional and technically proficient heating and cooling companies in the Des Moines metro area. Baldwin Heating and Plumbing sets themselves apart by caring about customers just like you and raising the bar of keeping customers just like you satisfied. So why don't you reach out to them today? Baldwin Heating and Plumbing at 515-371-4036. That's 515-371-4036. Also, Agape Pregnancy Center offers free pregnancy tests, free STD tests, free ultrasounds. And they want to do that. Oh, parenting classes, too. I shouldn't forget that. Parenting. They offer free parenting classes. You know, I've blown this live read completely. 100%.
Can we rewind this?
It doesn't matter because Agape Pregnancy Center offers free services to you because they have a passion to offer hope and help and opportunity to anyone and everyone who walks through their doors. So why don't you reach out to them today? Go to their website, Agape Pregnancy Center. AgapeDSM.com. AgapeDSM.com. That's the number or the website to go to.
Whatever, John, you're going to get the blame for this. You realize this, right?
I have no idea. Whenever Jen has been in the studio, I always blow my live reads, and I look completely unprofessional. But here's
whatever
the deal.
Whatever is all my fault.
It is his fault. But here's the deal. I'm the host. My name is Mike Damastis, and I'm really glad that you've joined us at 99.3 FM, The Truth. And my co-host on Tuesdays, always, is Tim Overlin of Personhood, Iowa. And we've got another guest in studio with us today, Rebecca Maxwell Haney. And she is whatever. She's been in the radio for a long time.
Stranger. That's the word you're looking for. Stranger.
I was waiting for the introduction. I didn't know what to expect, and I loved it.
We should get a thesaurus or something for today.
This is going to be a rough day.
This is a no-judgment zone. Here,
yeah,
right.
Mike? And so yeah. Okay. John Desaunier is our host. Tim, I need you to just jump in and take over the show.
John's going to try to keep us between the lines today, apparently, and he's not doing such a hot job at this point.
Man.
John is producing the show.
It's a train wreck. We're done.
Yeah, back up. Okay, where's that rewind button?
Okay, here's the deal. I want to talk for this first segment with my dear friend Sarah Qualley up in Minnesota. Sarah Qualley is with Personhood Alliance, and that's a national personhood organization. Do so many great things. And here I want to talk, because we talked with Sarah once before about ethically sourced vaccines. And in particular today, we're going to talk about the fact that there are two vaccines for COVID that have been put forth. One is by Pfizer, and that one is not an ethically sourced vaccine. The other one that just came out is by a group called Moderna, M-O-D-E-R-N-A, Moderna. And they are claiming that theirs is ethically sourced. In fact, I got an article here in front of me saying that the new Moderna coronavirus vaccine is not created with fetal cells from babies killed in abortions. And that article was just published today, and it's from lifenews.com. And I sent it to Sarah, and I said, hey, have you seen this? She's like, yeah, I have seen it. Unfortunately, it's not true.
Of course.
And so, Sarah, tell me, by the way, welcome back, but tell me why is this lifenews.com sharing that information, and either it's wrong or they're ignorant on what's true. Tell me what's going on here.
Well, thanks for having me. The Life News article is half true.
Oh.
And that's what a lot of these articles are today and yesterday regarding the Moderna vaccine, and what a lot of articles were last week regarding the Pfizer vaccine. What we have in both of these vaccine candidates is a situation in which the vaccine, when it was being produced, was indeed not produced using aborted fetal cells. We know that. That is true. However, during the testing phase, aborted fetal cells were used. Now, you can't consider that truth and also at the same time say that this vaccine is ethical. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening across the media. That's what's happening across the pro-life media, as a matter of fact, is everyone is saying these are good vaccines. These are good candidates. They were not produced using aborted fetal cells. That's true, but they were tested using aborted fetal cells, and that is unethical. So
absolutely,
they're glossing over that double standard. If we are demanding that a vaccine be produced without the use of aborted fetal cells, then why aren't we asking that a vaccine also be tested using the same standard? And that's what's happening here.
Okay, so this is, it gets kind of confusing. You sent me to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and I downloaded this chart. And
maybe that's what messed you up to start the show.
I know. I started trying to read this chart, and I'm like, this is in Arabic, and it's, you know, it's algebra. Man. And I just am having a hard time following this thing. So help me with this. And where does this chart reveal that the information that you're saying that they tested with aborted fetal tissue?
So I just published an article hot off the presses on personhood.org that gets into that, actually shows the chart itself. It's called The Unethical Testing of Ethical COVID Vaccines. And people can find that right on our website.
I'm going to publish it in the comment section on the Facebook Live here.
Thank you. Yeah. When you look at that chart that the Charlotte Lozier Institute put out, what you'll see is each vaccine candidate that's involved in the COVID-19 therapies right now, the Operation Warp Speed and outside of Operation Warp Speed. So all over the world. And what they've done is comprehensively take a look at how these vaccines were designed, how they were produced, and how they were tested. And they have little green squares that show that in that particular part of the process, no aborted fetal cells were used. And then they use red triangles to say that aborted fetal cells were used in this particular part of the process.
Wow.
In both Moderna and Pfizer, you will see the red triangles. In fact, almost all of the Operation Warp Speed vaccines have the red triangles, either all the way through production and testing or just in testing. And
now,
that's the case
for Moderna and Pfizer. I do want to contradict you just a little bit because I'm really smart at geometry. They're not triangles, they're diamonds.
They're two triangles put together.
Oh.
Right?
Well.
Okay. Sorry. They're red, though, right?
Yeah, they're red. Red, yes. They are red. So he's saying two triangles. It doesn't show that. It just shows diamonds. So I'm just saying. I know a little bit more, Sarah, than you do on this particular topic.
Oh, man. I'm so embarrassed.
No, but here's the deal. It's, you know, the idea that we have pro-life websites, lifenews.com.
Yes.
That is promoting this idea. Hey, it's a green light, baby. Go for it. These are safe and there's no aborted fetal tissue. Go on. You can do it and it's all good. Why are they doing that?
Well, the problem is, and I want to say too, that it's not just Life News. It's actually the Charlotte Lozier Institute themselves.
Oy.
So the data, they are making an ethical claim based on their own data that shows that they're being tested unethically. So that's a really big problem. I have a lot of respect for the Charlotte Lozier Institute in terms of research. In our official vaccine position at the Persons Alliance, we used a lot of their data. We believe in it. It's valid. I have cross-checked it and checked it again. However, they are also one of the ones making this claim. And I think that we just are used to talking about vaccines and medical therapies in terms of those that are produced with aborted fetal cells. We're not used to talking about this testing phase because most of the vaccines that we use have been developed already, that were developed a long time ago, that are still, you know, being used. They're not these new vaccines. COVID vaccines are new. This is a new thing that's happening. So right now we're going through this process from the beginning. And that's why we're looking at these different parts of the process. And that's why we're at the Person Alliance standing up and saying, wait, stop. We can't call these ethical. They are not because they're being tested with the use of aborted fetal cells.
Sarah,
we have to be consistent.
Sarah, I absolutely respect that, Rebecca, here. And I was wondering if we can continue on that theme, since you're saying
this is a new opportunity, in essence, if we're going to establish this new standard that says we're not going to use or profit in any way from the taking of innocent human life. What would be some good steps moving forward to establishing that new standard, to getting rid of the old double standard, or looking the other way? We want to pay attention to this, and we want to do better in the future. What are some good steps that we might be able to take, or expectations we could set forth for the medical community?
Well, right now, the first step that we are trying to take, and we're trying to ask other people to take, is to stand up and tell the truth. Mm-hmm. It's just to simply say, this is unethical. We're not going to gloss over it. We're going to stand up and demand, like we always said we would, right? In the pro-life community, we always say, well, you know, we'll accept that a vaccine was produced unethically, but if there's no other ethical alternatives, we still have to demand that more is done for ethical alternatives. Well, there are ethical alternatives right now, that are being produced in this massive COVID vaccine creation that's happening right now. There are fully ethical candidates. Why aren't we demanding that those are the ones that are brought to market? This is a huge problem, and that's your first step. But you have a whole host of pro-life organizations and all kinds of conservative media, liberal media, everybody, that's just like, oh, yeah, these are ethical. Let's go forward. Yep, this is great. Stock market's going crazy. You know, the stock in these companies is going crazy. We're all going to be saved from COVID because of these wonderful vaccines that are coming. They are unethical, and until we stand together and demand, that's the first step, that more is done.
We're all going to be saved when Pfizer and Moderna make lots and lots of money. And
yes.
That's kind of ultimately...
That's a whole nother conversation, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. Sarah, What do we do in terms of, I mean, she's asking the question, you know, what is the starting place?
Yeah.
But how, because we've talked about this when we talked about vaccines before, how do we as people, you know, pro-life people, get this message out? Because a lot of pro-life people, as I've said before, don't even know that this is a thing that happens. They don't even know to look for this. It's nowhere on their radar.
Right. And education is so important right now. You know, we have to ask, you know, what does it mean to test a vaccine using aborted fetal cells? Can we test vaccines without using aborted fetal cells? These are important questions. The answer is yes, by the way. And until we start asking and looking for these answers, we're still just going to be kind of beholden to what all of these national voices are saying.
Hey,
and so what people can do... Go ahead.
I'm just going to ask you, can you hold on for one more segment? Are you good with that?
Absolutely, sure.
All right, so stick around. We're talking today with Sarah Qualley, and we're talking about vaccines, at least for one more segment. So keep on the line with us.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing. 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Onimus beef. That's all I got to say.
Hey, you got that one right.
Onimus beef. You need it in your life. Trust me. You can call the farmer himself, David Onimus, and order your beef today at 515-238-7505. That's 515-238-7505. Also want you to know about a great group, Greenkeepers Lawn and Landscape. Listen to this list. They do lawn maintenance, they fertilize, they weed control, they do fall and spring cleanup, they do shrub and tree trimming, they do snow removal, they aerate your lawn, they landscape your lawn, they do year-round work to keep your lawn the envy of your neighborhood. So call Ignacio at 515-505-9866. That's Ignacio at 515-505-9866. My name is Mike Damastis, and I am the host here on FaithWorks Live. So honored you've tuned in to 99.3 FM The Truth. And we have in our studio with us Tim Overland, Director of Personhood Iowa. We have Rebecca Maxwell Haney, who has joined us. John Desagne is producing today's show. And we have on the phone with us Sarah Qualley in Minnesota. Sarah has been kind of walking us through some of this stuff. Sarah, it's unfortunate to me because it's really, really difficult. Not only are, you know, pro-life websites out there promoting the idea that these new vaccines are safe, they're ethically sourced, there's not going to be aborted fetal tissue in there. And we also have, like, data places, like the Logier Institute, Charlotte Logier Institute, that are saying, it's safe, go for it. But you're saying, no, there's data in their own data reporting. They're telling us that they tested this with aborted fetal tissue. So how are we supposed to navigate it? I didn't even understand the information I was looking at, much less any of this. And so it's, how's the average guy going to figure this out?
Yeah. It is an issue of education, that's for sure. I know I'm not the type of person that in years past really cared too much about the production and testing of vaccines, right? I mean, that's not something that I, you know, stay up at night studying. But unfortunately it is today, because I just really feel that this is so important for us to understand. If we are to stand against the connection between abortion, biomedical science, and human trafficking, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about trafficking in the parts of aborted human beings. Mm. If we are to stand up against that, we have to do so consistently. And that requires us knowing the ways and the places that connection has kind of slithered its way in, right? Mm. And vaccines is definitely one. We're used to understanding vaccines in terms of being produced with aborted fetal cells, but we're not used to talking about this in terms of the testing phase. And that's really, really important for us to understand. I want to also say that the way in which this testing is done is just, it's Frankenscience. It's actually, it's disgusting and stomach churning to me. We're talking about humanized mice that are created in a lab using aborted fetal cells that have been programmed to turn into human lungs. So these mice are born with humanized lungs. They're injected with the vaccine. They're infected with COVID. And that's the mice model. The humanized mice came a couple years ago. We learned more about this, I think probably for the first time for many of us, was when David DeLayden's videos came to light and showed that trafficking of aborted baby parts was happening so that humanized mice were going to be created.
Okay, that's a low blow. Kamala Harris showed us that those were edited videos and that's not
heavily,
real.
I know, heavily discredited also.
Right. Yeah.
So to answer Mike's question, I think, is the reason that personhood exists in most states and across the country, you know, is because there is so much seat at the table, front runner type, hey, get out ahead of the clickbait stuff and let's run this out there and show us, look, us pro-lifers, we're with you. You know, we're not these crazy anti-vaxxers or anti-maskers or whatever, you know, science deniers. So, I mean, I think that's the short answer, is the reason we exist and why we're growing, which is some breaking news, Mike.
Are we talking about the science that says there's 147 genders?
Right.
Or the science that says man is making the earth die?
Yeah, right. Well, obviously, we understand that. But that's some breaking news, Mike. Personhood, you know, which we proudly sit on the national board as Personhood Iowa, we've just added our 27th affiliate.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah,
Texas just is, so now we're in Texas. So, I mean, this is, there's a reason that people are pulling away from places like, you know what, I'll put this as a personal plug. LifeSite News is a better source for your pro-life news, generally speaking, than Life News.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been, like you said, there's been a lot of clickbait, you know, which is the source, by the way, of this article. It's lifenews.com. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I agree, Tim, about the table sitting. I think that's really important for us to consider, that a lot of these national organizations like SBA List and Americans United for Life and National Right to Life, they all have a seat at the table. They all have access to the administration. And what is this administration's key project? Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to promote President Trump's wonderful COVID, you know, savior program that's coming. Mm. Of course they're going to. They're not going to question that. And that's a problem, because that's where you start to strip away some of that consistency that's so important to have when you talk about our core values.
So we're you know, maybe some people listening are just realizing for the very first time that they actually use aborted fetal tissues in the process of making vaccines. They do it with a lot of common ones, by the way, the MMR, chickenpox vaccine, all of those. If I had known that, I've been a pro-life guy for a long time, but I never even knew that until probably just in the last 2 years. And I didn't know that was a thing, and it's a thing, and people need to know that. And if you care about life, then you should care about this issue. Just one more thing, Sarah, before we have to leave you. But they're saying that the Biden coronavirus advisor, which is Rahm Emanuel's brother, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, he's saying people older than 75 years old should get the vaccine last.
Yeah, well, Ezekiel Emanuel, he's an interesting character. He's written several things. He actually is the author, one of the authors of kind of the background of Obamacare, the eugenics involved in Obamacare and rationing healthcare, rationing organ distribution, rationing medicine. And one of his key thoughts that he came up with a couple years ago in developing this was what's called the distribution curve. I forget the exact name for it, but he had a name for it. But it shows who should get the distribution curve. So who should get treated, who should not get treated, who is allowed to receive medications, who is allowed to live basically, and who is allowed to die or made to die, and that is something that our country's been moving forward with for a long time, not just in abortion, but in euthanasia and assisted suicide. And Ezekiel Emanuel is one of the key authors of that sort of value right now.
Well,
has
hope
been
they
for a number of decades.
Let's hope they don't get with AOC's list and added the rest of us onto that list.
Well, hey, I want to tell you, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us, and appreciate it. I know you got a strained voice right now, so thanks for hanging in for another segment.
Thanks.
Yeah, take care and God bless.
See you.
You guys stick around, because I want to invite some people into this conversation, and we'll begin that in our next segment. We'll see you on the curb.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing. 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
Iowans for Life is the longest-standing nonprofit pro-life ecumenical organization in the state of Iowa. They're formed back in 1972, and they've got a mission to advocate for the dignity of human life from fertilization to natural death. And I want to encourage you to learn more about who they are by going to their website, iowansforlife.org. iowansforlife.org. My name is Mike Damastis. I am the host here on FaithWorks Live, and we're going to kind of take a big turn. I want to invite you, the listener, to call in and dialogue with us. Our number is 515-727-5842. That's 515-727-5842. And here's the deal. No judgment, no confrontation. We just want to talk. And this is what I want to hear. If you're willing, and even if you want to use an alias, use your alias. I don't care. We'll keep it as anonymous as you want it to be. But I want you to call in if you have had an abortion. Or maybe you helped someone get an abortion. And I just want to know, is that, you know, because the world out there is telling us, you know, celebrate your abortion, shout your abortion. Is that where you're at? Or do you regret it? Is it something that you have struggled with for a really long time? So I like I said, I would love to hear from you. I promise, no judgment, no confrontation with you. I just want to hear your story. If you've had an abortion, or maybe you helped someone have an abortion, why don't you give us a call at 515-727-5842. That's 515-727-5842. Now, Tim and Rebecca, they're still here with me in the studio. And I know I've talked to people, I've had people share their testimony on our show before, which is a very brave thing to do. And I really appreciate that. And I've had some pretty, maybe controversial would be the word, signs that I have put up on our church marquee, because my hope was we literally live five blocks from Planned Parenthood, and we're three blocks because we live very close to Planned Parenthood, right on Army Post. People drive by our church all the time. In fact, we're known sometimes. I've met people that are like, Mike DeMasters, you're the pastor at that sign church, right? Yeah, that's me. Yeah. But I have put up some, what would be considered controversial signs before, challenging people on the issue of abortion. I am Planned Parenthood's number one enemy on Army Post Road. They cannot stand me or my church, and I have been told so many times and have had not only messages and emails, but phone calls and voicemails left on my church answer machine from people that are very much in support of the Planned Parenthood Clinic on Army Post Road. And so I know that they read the signs, and if I'm making them mad, I feel very happy inside, and that makes me extremely happy. But here's the interesting thing. I've even been criticized by other Christians about some of our signs, and they've said, "Well, what you're doing is it's not doing anything. You're turning people away from your church. You sound hateful when you say stuff like that abortion is not compatible with Christianity, or abortion is never necessary. All you're doing is stirring the pot, and you're making people be driven away from you." But I've had women who have told me if they had seen my sign when they were driving to their appointment at Planned Parenthood, that probably would have been the tipping point, because they were already questioning whether or not they should do this, mm-hmm. and they probably would have canceled the appointment. And that's what my goal is. I'm not trying to make friends. I don't want to make enemies intentionally. But for that woman, I put up signs, because there are people that have an abortion that have a lifelong regret and despairing feeling in their gut that they just can't seem to erase. And every Sunday that they attend church and their pastor mentions the word abortion or mentions the word life.
What church is that?
Yeah, right. it makes them feel sick inside. Mm-hmm. And they have this silent struggle that maybe even their husband doesn't even know about, because it happened before they even got together. And so they carry this black burden, and it's a heavy, big black bag, and they're the only ones bearing it. And they have no idea that Christ wants to take it away from them and not have that burden anymore. And so I want to hear from you. If you have had an abortion, or maybe you are a guy and you helped your girlfriend get an abortion, why don't you call us at 515-727-5842. That's 515-727-5842. Either of you guys had experiences in this arena with people that have deep regret about having had an abortion?
Well, and we do. I mean, we've had my wife on to talk about it on the show before a couple of times. You can go see her testimony on Personhood's Facebook page. And it's the devastation that it leaves on somebody's life for, in many cases, decades. And when you start to get that healing, I've seen where and kind of walked part of that road with Jazz, where she says, now I know why I did that. The self-destructive behavior and these poor choices that you continue to make, and look, she will readily admit she wasn't one of those that was in a position that wasn't going to be able to be taken care of. She just freaked out. She was an 18-year-old kid who bought the lie, first time away from home, in school. And part of her testimony that hits me, one of the hardest, I mean, there's a lot of aspects, obviously, to her story that hits me hard on a personal level. But the fact that she, somewhere in her subconscious, said to herself, the government said it was okay, that it's all right. She didn't have a Christian. She wasn't raised Christian. So she didn't have that spiritual background. And she's like, well, man, it's not against the law. It's not like she had to sneak in somewhere or go do something, you know, other than sneaking, you know, around from like her parents. But that's a horrible message. You know, Mike, you talk about these signs you put up that convict people. That's really what's happening. They don't want to be convicted. But we know as Christians, the law is there to show us that we're sinners. And until we can let folks know that and share that, you know, we've had Laura Clausen on the show a few times. Go follow her. She will tell you story after story after story that if we don't tell them that they're killing their baby, then they're going to buy the lie of Planned Parenthood saying, hey, we'll just take care of this problem for you, and all the euphemisms that make or help people to make these decisions.
Yeah. How about you, Rebecca? Have you had experiences with anybody in this arena?
I've not had an abortion myself, but I know many people that have.
Yeah.
And so I think for most women and just about any age group, I think post Roe, we share that. And it's not something that a lot of people talk about. I think there is a shame factor because we all know deep down that that's not what God wants for us.
Right.
And that's not what our bodies were designed to do. And there's this need, even in the midst of all of the so-called positive press that abortion's gotten lately, there's still something in our hearts that says, this isn't right.
Yeah.
This isn't right. And so we hide it and we don't talk about it, or we try to paper over it maybe and say, well, if I call it something else, or I use nicer language, or I justify it, maybe I have a really good reason, then I won't feel this way inside.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away. And I think these types of moments are really important. Mike, what we're leaving open right now is an invitation to say, this is a time to tell a story. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to share part of what's happened in your life or the impact that abortion has had on your life, this is an opportunity, which you don't really get an awful lot, and nobody's going to call you names. Nobody's going to attack you.
Need to know who you are.
It could be totally anonymous.
Absolutely.
But there's a giant part of your story that needs to be told and needs to be shared today.
Yeah. So call us 515-727-5842. I really do want to hear, how abortion has made an impact on your life.
Well, Mike, there's two people that have that story right now. One, they haven't dealt with it. You know, it's still that source of shame and pain, and they haven't dealt with it. That's where we would say, hey, reach out to somebody like Laura Lemix and get that help. Or if you have gone through some healing and you want to tell that story, you know, like Rebecca said and Mike said, let's do that now. We'd love to tell your story on Personhood, Iowa. We'd love to sit down and walk through that with you.
Yeah. So if you want to join in this conversation, I know we got you, caller. We're going to be with you right after this break. But I would encourage you to give us a call. We want to hear from you on this subject. 515-727-5842.
This is FaithWorks Live, brought to you by Walden Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now, here's the host of FaithWorks Live, Michael Damastis.
So glad you tuned in to 99.3 FM The Truth. I'm the host, Mike Damastis, and I'm very glad that you're with us. I've got Tim Overland in studio with me. Rebecca Maxwell-Haney is with me as well. John DeSagne is producing today's show. And we have extended an invitation for you to call in to tell us your story. How abortion has impacted your life, or maybe you helped somebody get an abortion. Our number is 515-727-5842. I really want to hear from you. You don't need to tell us anything of, you know, personal or any information that, you know, needs to be shared over the radio that you don't want to identify you. That's fine. But we want to hear from you. 515-727-5842. And we do have a caller, and I want to go to you, caller. And I want to, first off, thank you for calling in, and I want to hear what you're willing to share.
Hi there. I listen to you guys' show all the time, and I really appreciate the fact that you're on the radio for people that have no other way to listen to the word. So thank you for being there. my personal story is a little bit different than maybe what you've been talking about, but I was married, had two miscarriages pretty early on. I was 25 and then 28 when I had the first two miscarriages. I got pregnant again. This time I was really worried, you know, about the pregnancy and everything. The first two, I only carried for 7 weeks. And I was about 9 weeks at this point. I had started spotting. So I was really concerned that I was going to lose the baby. I went to the doctor. They did not do a actual exam on me. They just took my blood work, and it was kind of inconsistent. So they wanted me to come, this was on a Friday. They wanted me to come back in on Monday, so they could do more blood work. And so I went back in, they took the blood work. They said, your hormone levels have gone up. You've stopped spotting. Everything's okay. Go ahead and tell your family, all this stuff. So I did that. And by Wednesday, I had this horrible cramping in my stomach, to where I couldn't stand up. I couldn't move, really. Our car was in the shop being worked on, so I rode with him to go pick it up. And on my way back home, I drove myself home because I wasn't feeling well. On my way back home, I almost passed out while I was driving. And so I pulled myself into the emergency room where they, you know, I could tell by the look on the nurse's face that it wasn't good when I got in there. And they said, they asked me, you know, did you drive yourself here? And I said, no. Or I said, yes. And they said, well, you're going to want to call somebody to get a ride. No sooner did my family show up and they told me I had had a tubal pregnancy that had burst open and I was bleeding internally and then I was going to have emergency surgery. And I asked if there was any way to save the baby and they told me no. And I completely lost it. I'm sure you can imagine. And after conferring with my husband, we decided that that was the best thing to do. Because I had been bleeding inside for 3 days at that point. And so I went in for surgery about 3 hours later. And it wasn't until I got the bill that it was listed as an abortion that I received. And as a Christian, of course, that broke my heart to see that. It wasn't my intention to have an abortion by any means. And so it's something I've struggled with emotionally. I didn't feel like that's what my intention was, but that's what they called it. And for me, that was detrimental as a Christian because I don't believe in abortion.
First off, and, if I can jump in, I want to tell you, thank you for sharing this because you're not alone in your experience. I think there have been others probably that have experienced the kind of story that you were sharing, and I want you to know, if just listening to it, what has happened to you is not what I would label as an abortion. And any doctor that has any sense of a moral mapping, when it is deemed impossible to save both of you, at that stage, you save the mom.
Right.
Unless the mother says, you know, no, you know, I mean, of course, there's that is a thing, but you didn't even know that that was a thing. And I think that, you know, when you're realizing there's no other alternative here, you did not do anything wrong. This was not an abortion in my book. It was saving your life. And so I don't carry a burden that you do not need to carry. I think that everybody that's listening to your story right now, and that, by the way, I think that's why it's really important, knows you did nothing wrong. And I know that God sees it that same way as well. And I hope that you can forgive yourself because you have nothing to forgive yourself for. You shouldn't carry a burden like this. You did not kill your child. You loved that child. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to do everything you could to save that child. But it wasn't possible. And so your life was saved. And I'm glad that it was. And, you know, I'm just...
I am too.
I'm very sorry that you had that experience. I really am.
Well, and I'm not a...
I am too, but I just wanted to share because I wanted other people to know, you know, I'm a Christian. I have strong beliefs in what I believe, and I don't... It's not that I've carried... I mean, I've struggled with it, yes, but
In your story...
Why it happened, not what I did intentionally, why it happened in the first place.
Yep.
But I just wanted to share because I know that there's got to be other people out there that have had the same experience.
And absolutely.
Maybe they don't have the foundation that I had, and I had a really good family and good support. So
you are, you are a strong person, and you're brave, and I really appreciate you. I appreciate you for the love that you had for your child that you will be reunited with at one stage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and medically, that's just what's listed. That an ectopic pregnancy, that is not, they're not aborting that child. They try to save you both.
Why would
at that
they
point.
List it as an abortion? I mean, that's just
a line
the
item.
Hardest thing to look at it.
Yeah, it's because we've twisted the vocabulary. Any ending of a pregnancy is aborting that pregnancy, but now we recognize it in the. Out in the rest of the world in a different sense and what it really truly means.
You know, I get in a different way, I get this experience of mislabeling things because a lot of times I'm asked on like online things when you're filling out a survey or whatever, and it's like, what is your occupation? They never list pastor, you know?
Right.
So I try to find something that's close to it. You know, I've been an agricultural counselor before, I think I've checked myself off as. But just know that that's something they did. That's on them.
Yeah.
But you loved your child, wanted your child, and that label, unfortunately, that was put on you is not true and not representative of who you are.
And that's exactly what God's word says. He says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ
Amen.
Jesus. And so I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry that you had to spend the time in your heart and your soul justifying it or wondering about this, because God knows your heart and your intention and loving this child, which, as Mike says, you will get a chance to meet them and hold them again. I truly believe that. But Satan knows our name, but calls us by our shame.
Yep.
Right? And Christ does exactly the opposite. He's taken all of our shame at the cross, and he will only and ever love you and call you by your name. And if you are new in Christ, then I don't think you have to spend one more second concerned about what he might think about any of that, or if anybody's listening is trapped in that particular situation, and God knows the intention of your heart. And the actions that you've taken that are in concert with that. So would it be okay to pray for you?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Lord, we absolutely love this listener. And I know we haven't met in person, but here we've had a heart to heart. And thank you so much for sharing and for giving her the strength and courage to share with anyone else who might be hurting today, that while we go through such awful pain as a result of sin in this world, that that's exactly what you took on at the cross for us. And that it was with us in mind here and now. And anyone who is listening can have freedom from that shame, from any type of guilt or sin. And the power of sin falls dead at the cross. So we thank you so much. And just be with her and with her family today. In Jesus' name.
Hey, caller, one last word to you. And then we're out literally at the end of the show. But I just want to say, again, I want to say thank you. But second, you did not have an abortion. You lost your child. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
So God bless you. Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. And hey, guys, thank you for hanging in there with us today. Thank you so much for just being a part of the show and listening like you do. We'll be back tomorrow. And unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about some politics and COVID mitigation, which will be an interesting discussion. So I look forward to that. Talk to you later.